Hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Radar, episode 99.
Ooh.
And a bitch ain't one.
I'm just going to let that go. I'm the host, Henry Gilbert, with...
Ryan Teljanek.
Ashley Reed.
And I'm leaving.
Okay, goodbye.
Okay, Tom.
I'm Tony Wilson.
Hey, yep. Tony Wilson in his last day as an intern for, at least now, for at Games Radar.
This is true. Last time I'll be here as a co-host on the podcast, at least for the foreseeable future.
Now, you've been a great resource, not just on the podcast, but just for the site for the last 2 months.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I did, as I don't know if the listeners are familiar with my work pre-being here, but yeah, I did 2 years worth of guides before I came out here, and we'll continue to do stuff after I've left, so you'll still see my name around.
Yeah.
Well, Tony, best of luck. Thank you for coming out.
Yeah, I got this whole college thing to finish.
Oh, yeah, that'll do.
Freaking college, man.
I think you should just quit college, go straight into the games industry. Because if this week has shown us anything, is that it is a booming industry that's not facing any cuts or anything.
Net.
Yeah.
Exactly. Dark comedy.
Yeah. But we'll get to that news later in the episode. Now it's time... Going from dark comedy to
lowbrow childish comedy.
The best kind.
It's the top seven.
It's the top seven.
Yeah, we dug up the old one.
That was worth finding. And this week's top seven is, to say the official name was, the top seven most devastating growing shots in video game.
I was gone. Was
he
there?
He kicked him down on the ground, but he was going to kick him. I was on the ground. You know what he did?
He kicked
him in the penis. He was injured. Injured bad.
Where did you find that? You have to. These are so weird. You kind of have to source them.
I honestly don't remember what I put in to find this one. It's from YouTube.
Okay.
But I don't remember where I pulled it from.
Ryan, you were saying you weren't here.
What I was wondering was where the decision to go with just groin shots came from, as opposed to something perhaps a little more.
I think gender specific.
I think nut shots is too. Just the word nut.
It's like, a little too brutal. I think.
Is like I think groin. Like go with a clinical term. Like
though the picture is a bunch of cracked walnuts. So
yeah, no, it's fine. I think that's a good image to go with.
We could have been sniping bags of pistachios.
But instead, just showing somebody just like holding their crotch in pain. Like, but I think it's more symbolic, all those cracked nuts.
Yeah, it might be a little off-putting, too, if someone's like, what's this game's radar all about? And then they just pull up some man holding his genitals in pain.
I mean, you can find a lot of those.
But be like, this is the greatest website ever!
It's true.
We might have earned a lot of new fans. I think those would be the same fans who would see us anyway. All right, but yeah, this week's top seven run by one David Roberts was about getting hit in the balls. Though it isn't gender specific, like many of the ones on this list can be done to women as well as men. So it's, you know,
it's an inclusive culture here at GR.
It's inclusive in that
we
way,
destroy
yes.
everybody's groin at Games Radar.
Exactly. Like in number seven, kick them while they're down in Bully.
Number seven.
I missed it. Sorry.
Okay,
my family jewels, my lineage destroyed.
So Bully was a Rockstar game, so it wasn't surprising to see people get hit in the junk. Like, you can do that you can shoot people in the dick all the time in GTA.
And but, I mean, I think we all remember high school.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
I think that was definitely the era I got hit in the balls the most by my friends.
Who
was like, this is hilarious, right? Like,
oh, yeah. Your friends were like, what did I do? We did a little tapping game. We walked by each other. Tap.
Yep. Yeah.
One of my friends often referred to it as playing the bass. He just always did that hand motion of his.
That's
that one's
weird.
A little weird.
Yeah.
It's
kind of weird.
More slightly clinical.
That's a weird excuse
rephrase.
To touch your friends.
Hey, buddy, let me play the bass.
Oh,
I know. That is a little bit weird.
I was usually the one delivering the pain. I remember we were watching some movie in a science class or something, and one of my friends was literally lounging on the ground next to my chair, so I dropped my lab book right down on him.
Too easy.
Ouch.
That was a bad kid.
My friend had the, like, it's such a cliche like high school joke, which is like, hey, what's the capital of Thailand? You're like, oh, I don't know.
Bangkok. Love that one.
And that's what Bully recreates, is that same kind of like childish attacks to the genitals.
I mean, you actually have that mission too, that's like, go kick all the preppies in the genitals.
Yeah.
And that's what, that's where that quote comes from. That's one of, they all say different things, and that's one of them.
That was what I thought was the best part about it, was like, in some games you could be like, well, maybe they're just freaking out because they got hit at all. That one, there's no ambiguity. It's like, the family jewels have been tarnished.
My lineage destroyed, I believe,
lineage
was the quote.
Destroyed.
Saw those like that.
My family jewels, my lineage destroyed.
And then a very bizarre faint moan slash groan.
But it also kind of felt good. Oh?
I like the, it's just kind of an old 80s film kind of thing of the slobs versus snobs mentality and Bully as well. That was a fun game that didn't get enough, recognition, I feel like. I don't know.
Maybe they'll get a sequel one day. They've said they want to make one, so maybe we'll get lucky.
You'd get Red Dead first.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, all right.
But all right, moving on to number six.
Number six.
Next up is a very painful achievement called Ow, My Balls.
Yes, it is crotch punching around town in Saints Row the Third. You can also do this in 4.
Yeah. I remember sitting in on a demo of Saints Row the Third before that game came out, and just the people from Volition were kind of walking us through, like, yeah, so this game, we're trying to make it like really, really goofy and really leaning into that. Here you guys go, have a spin. And I forget who they handed the controller to first. But whoever it was that was controlling it was just walking and hit a button, and the first thing his character did was reach out and punch somebody right in the junk. We're like,
that's
what?
Fantastic.
Because normally,
this is an amazing game.
Yeah, normally there are not really any contextual buttons prior to this that I'm aware of, though you're pushing it immediately makes you attack the junk. Like, it was really bizarre to see you just assault a stranger in that way, because normally in a GTA game, like, you just punch somebody or something, so.
And so many of them are acrobatic.
Yes.
Like, you do that whole, like, leg clinch, like, around the head and, like, spin around like a helicopter blade to take them down to the ground.
Yeah, Hurricane Rana. Yeah. And there's also one where you like, dive on them and smash them on the ground, and then you get into, like, a camera pose of, like,
draw me, like, one of your French girls and then plant the elbow.
The most elaborate nut shot ever.
And the other thing, too, is, like, when you're carrying weapons, a lot of them have very different nut shot animations. So, like, you have a shotgun, you just whip it around in the air, grab the barrel, and swing up the handle right onto
the golf. Teeing off.
Ouch.
This is what you're paying for when you buy Saints Row.
That's an execution in Gears of War, and Saints Row uses it to hit you in the junk.
Yeah, and I wonder, like, what the discussion was like at Volition about this. Like, all right, guys, brainstorming meeting. Today we're talking about nut shots. What do you got?
What are all the ways we're going to have people get hit in the nuts in this game?
I mean, I love our discussion about it. Like, when we were assembling this list, it was just, all right, here are all the gaming's nut shots, and then we just had, like, a legitimate discussion, like, well, this is a very classic attack to the balls. I think we need to use this one.
Or the ones that we cut that some people in the comments mentioned. I think specifically the NFL Blitz.
Yeah, I missed out on this discussion because it happened while
we mean not included, by the way.
By the time this discussion happened while I was at Comic-Con, so I missed out on this. I would have brought up the NFL Blitz one.
Well, we were very aware of it.
I was for it, but...
But we decided, like... Well, you know what? This one is just so brutal that it's not even fun. So let's just get rid of it.
Maybe I was just disconnected enough from this from this situation that I was like, yes, this one.
I mean, that made me feel disconnected. Like, I felt the pain of that.
So that probably would have been, you know, it's our number one entry.
It's our squeamish entry.
But it made everybody so uncomfortable that we're like...
Yeah.
It's too well done. Like, it's too scientifically accurate rupturing a testicle.
And it just keeps going, and then you think it's done, and then no!
The thing is, that video that we were looking at just looped it like 8 times. Like, ouch.
Too much.
That whole game is just about disgusting damage done to you. It's just the growing injury. I have trouble saying that word, growing.
Groin.
Injury is just the grossest.
Groin would be one of your sports writers,
Andrew
Groin.
Yeah. Ooh, I bet I hope nobably ever made fun of him with that word.
They probably did.
Not as much as they did Taylor Cock.
Well, yeah, he learned to live with that. All right, moving on to number six. It's five.
Yes, five.
Number five.
See that button there?
Yeah.
The one with the...
Yeah.
Whoa. I see what you mean.
Balls of brass, polished to the nth degree.
Wow. Ah, yes.
So did that have almost unintelligible British accents? Well, then it's the Conker's Bad Fur Day entry on the list.
Yeah.
Specifically, it is smashing brass balls with cinder blocks in Conker's Bad Fur Day.
It is a boss fight against a giant boiler. You begin that area by getting drunk so you can put out a bunch of these little flame demons by peeing on them. And the remaining ones are like, well, we're going to get our revenge for this. So they jump into a boiler who then immediately, like, exposes his testicles, which you have to
pound
with bricks to defeat.
Good.
I mean, they're literal brass balls.
Mm-hmm. And though you don't see the contact with the balls. You see his reaction to getting in the balls. Like, you're just about to hit him in the balls.
And it cuts away to his face.
Then his face, yeah. I believe those brass, like, that was another example of Conker's context-sensitive attacks, as they bring up early in the game, of just like, just stand here and a thing will happen. Like, you don't have to equip cinder blocks to hit him in the balls. You just stand in the right place.
It was a good advance that the game made, contextual attacks like that.
Made things a lot easier.
Yeah.
I just remember the mumbling scarecrow at the beginning, just going like,
it's context-sensitive, like.
Yeah. Your name's Beardy. You don't have a beard.
I said Beardy. Beardy. Yeah. It means flaw, you know, bear.
I just love that you spend, like, an hour of that game carefully rolling this dinosaur egg, like, through this, like, really elaborate level, and it's all so that it can hatch, and then you can kill it.
Yeah.
Because you have to sacrifice it.
Wow. There,
that game is... I can't even remember at what point in that game... And I beat that game, like, twice, but I can't remember at what point in that game that the brass balls even show up, because like the levels are just so all over the place. They could happen in any order, really.
Yeah, it's very much like, as far as a coherent plot, the game is pretty bad at that. It's very much just a here's the next level kind of thing.
Like, you start in basically a Banjo-Kazooie level.
Yeah,
and
then this little, like, windmill hub.
Yeah, and then you go, then there's a dinosaur world, and then there's a
farm world.
There's a castle, there's a farm.
Oh, there's a Saving Private Ryan weird
analogy.
Yeah, teddies,
the Nazi teddy bears.
And then there's an Exorcist joke in there, and you're like,
great.
What was that for?
It ends by fighting an alien, spoiler
and
alert,
the Matrix
for a 20-year-old
stage
game.
Too. There's a Matrix stage as well.
Oh, it's
there's
crazy.
Like the Matrix slash alien stage.
There's a Godfather scene where a bunch of weasels in trench coats talk about robbing a bank. Like,
yeah.
Oh, that game. I'm going to go play this again.
I got it. I haven't beat it. Like, I've gotten to the final boss, and I can't beat the goddamn alien.
You have to play it on the N64 version still, because
they censor the Xbox One.
Yeah, they
bleep stuff more.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck that.
They censor the remake, which you'd think at that point in time would be able to uncensor most things.
You fool.
Yeah. Like, despite it being an M-rated title, a lot of it was censored. There's, like... if you actually go to, like, the Wikipedia entry, it gives you a breakdown. Like, asshole is said twice, only one of which is bleeped.
Mm-hmm. It's a very uneven, like, slapdash game that Nintendo published. Like,
it's just so great, though.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember that was the AO-rated game, because it was, when I saw it, it was rated AO, but they still had it at... Blockbuster, and it was the only one they had, always saw it as a kid. I'm like, I'm going to play that one day.
As a kid, I actually went to rent it, because when I first saw it on the shelf, it was turned on its side, so the M resembled an E. And so, as a kid, I was like, oh, it's a kid's game, and it looks like one. And then I, like, turn around to the back, because even as a kid, you know, I knew if
you
I flipped it around.
You were, like, 8 when that game came out.
Yeah, I knew. If I flipped it around, I knew that if the rating thing had a bunch of things listed, I wasn't going to be allowed to play it. And I remember flipping that over and it just being, like, 8 different, criteria. And it's like, nope, I can't play this.
All right, number 4.
Okay.
Number 4.
How long does this song go on for? There it goes.
That's just 2 lines of the chorus.
This is Redman's Balls to the Wall attack from Def Jam Vendetta.
There was no good sound I could get for that, so that is Accepts Balls to the Wall. which I think most people are familiar with from Guitar Hero Rocks the 80s.
So Def Jam Vendetta, Def Jam Vendetta is an odd duck in that. So the Aki, or I think that's how it's pronounced, they did all the best, in my opinion, the best pro wrestling games ever that were on the N64, including WWF No Mercy and WrestleMania 2000 and WCW World Tour. Mm-hmm. But then instead they stopped being the wrestling developer for WWF. Instead, they went to make weird off-brand wrestling games, including one based on Def Jam, the Def Jam hip-hop label, starring famous rapping rapping people. rappers.
Preempted Way of the Dog.
Yeah, it was definitely a big deal. Like, EA spent a lot of money on it. Like, it was an expensive game, but it was still running on the Aki engine. So, mm-hmm. like, you'd kind of, like, pin people still, even though, and it took place in a wrestling ring, but it was really a fighting game.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. And you played as a lot of famous rappers of the time and some, like, less famous ones, too, that Def Jam just wanted on there. But I believe DMX was in there, Method Man, and then Redman. And as I had read the story that Redman got to, they wanted input from the rappers about what their finisher would be, and he wanted one where a bunch of like women would come up and kick a dude in the balls like in a row, like an army of women kicking the enemy in the balls.
Ugh.
And that was technically unfeasible, so they're like, all right, he'll just kick you in the balls like four times or something. And so that's all right.
and so it was.
Sorry, Redman, I don't want to program an army of women. How about you kick them yourself?
But there's a YouTube video link in this top seven, and this slide specifically, like, the video is really intense. Like, he's got some really fancy moves.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And I think there's a couple different versions of it.
Yeah.
And this is also one of the ones that also involves women characters, and I think the video I saw decreed that move "Box on the Rocks."
Man, that is harsh. Yeah, it is like a field goal kick, like one.
Yeah,
of them,
like, he just like goes all out, like bam.
Pulls his leg back all the way.
Gotta
in
get
and
that
just,
leverage.
Yeah,
it's like the field goal to win the game.
Yeah.
It's too much.
I should have played Fight for New York. That's the second one where they had like even these really weird just cut scenes where they would star the rappers like in, but they were themselves, but they were also like gangsters and instead of rappers, and like, yeah, it's very strange. And
not
Henry
everything
Rollins
can be 50 Cent Blood on the Sand.
If only that was, man.
What an unsung game.
What a beautiful world this would be.
Number three.
All right, you guys ready to wince? Because now I've got the real sounds.
Oh, I guess.
And of course, it's for the best three.
Number three.
Okay, I already don't like this at all. It's just... It's too wet and sickly sounding. Like too many,
that's
many
the sound
noises.
Of a wolf ripping out a man's particulars.
Man's best friend destroys man's other best friend in Dead to Rights Retribution.
Yeah.
Dead to Rights Retribution, you know, this makes me think we should just do a feature on, like, reboots that didn't take, and this would definitely be on it, because Dead to Rights was not even that good of a game, like the on the GameCube, PlayStation 2 era. Like,
I was more familiar with Retribution than the series it spun off from originally. Yeah,
yeah, but no, they rebooted it as Retribution on last gen consoles, and with an American developer. I remember like previewing the game and thinking like, I actually beat that game. And it was just, I don't know how much free time I had back then. I actually like.
You must have had a lot of it. If you
must have
it.
Sent your wolf out to rip a lot of men apart.
Yeah, it is a grisly, grisly game. Just in general, just like so many moments where I'm like, ugh, like everybody's just like bloody and bruised all the time, and just like the sound of headshots is just like, ugh. And then these, like, there are stages where you play as the dog, like where the main character, Mr. Dead to Rights, is. He's incapacitated.
The sequel to Adam Sandler's Mr. Deeds, Mr. Dead to Rights.
He's incapacitated, so his wolf dog mix fights for you.
Screams and pain.
I don't like it.
So they're basically like stealth missions, and then the dog will sneak up and like lots of times go for the jugular, but they're like, no, he should do the balls too. And then there is an achievement for it. If you do a certain number of them, you get scrotality.
Yeah. I feel like that would completely like ruin the fact that you're trying to be stealthy, though. Mm-hmm. Like, well, if a man is screaming in pain from this.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
That's in one of the more action-packed parts.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's why the jugular is a better place to bite if you're trying to keep them silent.
And, I mean, we had to have it on the list because, like, how often is it a wolf doing anything?
Yeah, it's tearing apart your balls. Number two.
Oh, why? Oh, that sounds like just fucking 2 buckets of water that just got dumped out all over the street.
Yeah.
So Johnny Cage goes a little overboard in Mortal Kombat Shaolin Monks.
Yeah, that clip was heavily trimmed down. It's like 4 times as long.
Johnny Cage pulls no punches.
So Johnny Cage is famous for punching people in the balls, which he just stole. They like Midway 100% just stole from Jean-Claude Van Damme. That move. It was in Bloodsport first. 1986 mm-hmm. Bloodsport. Mm-hmm. But 88.
Appropriate name given the attack.
Yeah, so it is going into the splits, punching him in the crotch. But then, so in Shaolin Monks, he really upped his game in how much he punches people in the balls.
Yeah, the final blow splits them in half. Like, the final blow splits their human body in half.
Oh,
them is in the body.
When you use the term them.
It was very ambiguous what you were talking about.
Sorry, yes. The upper half of their body becomes separated. He hits them so hard.
Man. Yeah, it is like it's a cool guy move, but I think, you know, once you were in a fight, I feel like Scorpion, say, once he gets hit in the crotch by Johnny Cage and then the fight continues, I feel like he would just go like, okay, you know what, stab you in the crotch. Like, if crotches are hot, if it's cool to hit each other in the crotch, then I'm doing it to
everybody's
you
just going for the crotch.
What's her name, the one with the fucked up face?
Melina?
Yeah, There's definitely a clip of him doing that to her. It's like, oh, I can only imagine what she would do back.
Yeah. There's a Dorkly video like that, actually.
I have not seen it.
It's Melina and another one of the villains. It might be...
She takes off her mask and then he, like, freaks out.
And then she's like, oh, no, my dad's home. Shao Kahn comes in the room. Scorpion jumps out the window. Shao Kahn, get back over here. Scorpion, like, yells from the yard, that's my line. It's pretty great.
The next Mortal Kombat game, Mortal Kombat X, that I think will have one. It has one that's worse than this with Johnny Cage's daughter, Cassie Cage.
Where, right.
With the X-ray nutshot.
Well, even I don't know if it was 9 that Raiden had the fatality where he threw his hat down like a saw blade and dragged the person through.
Liu Kang. Now, Liu Kang's grant of Kung Lao. Kung Lao had that. Kung Lao set his hat down, spinning like a saw blade, and then
just dragged
him by the leg
through it.
That's
junk
so
first.
Gross.
Yep.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's like one of the ones that we cut because all of us were like, no, that's too much. We can't.
Really? That's why I was kind of like, meh, that one's okay.
There was it the Saw game where that happens?
I thought it was... The Punisher?
Yeah, it was the Punisher.
Yeah.
I just thought that wasn't like specifically
just
a nut shot enough.
Straight up just saw blade.
It's just meant to saw you in half. It's not really meant just to damage your balls.
I will say, though, I will keep this spoiler free, but in the DLC for Outlast, Whistleblower, which came out not too long ago, mm-hmm. it's a really excellent DLC pack, there is what is perhaps, as a male, the absolute most horrifying scene I've ever witnessed in video games. I don't get uncomfortable really usually with any of this stuff, but I was squirming in my seat. It was horrifying.
I think there might be one person listening that actually plays that DLC.
It's good. It's really good.
Well, now I'll never play it. So
I might.
Outlast is good, guys.
I remember that Outlast, that actually had like male frontal nudity in it, which you'd never see.
Hopefully those aren't related.
It certainly is.
You'll have to play it to find out.
Yeah.
Number one.
All right, word of warning.
Number one.
Oh, why?
This is the one.
Does it? It just sounds like a gunshot.
That is a gunshot.
Jesus. Like, the build-up is too fucking much, man.
I don't know why it is
the
that...
The wetness of that.
I don't know why it is that in Sniper, everybody wants to shoot people in the crotch instead of the head. Number one. shoot Hitler in the balls in Sniper Elite V2.
I'm not going to lie, looking for a sound effect, I initially put into YouTube mine balls just to see what I would uncover. Nothing interesting, but that was the initial search term.
First off, that like this addresses the myth of like, does Hitler have only one testicle, which like I think was just a myth spread by the Allies as to defame Hitler. I don't think like it is a proven thing that he had one ball or not.
Man,
not that he needed
Hitler,
the help.
I heard he's only got one ham in the oven.
Well, in the article, David Roberts like links to a British like song of the time of like that Hitler's only got one ball or something. Like,
who wrote that one? Like the Clash.
I would think it would just be a something they sang on the streets. I think nobody would care how many balls he has only after he's dead. Like they only care when he's alive.
Yeah.
Like,
that's, yeah.
When he's blitzing your fucking town.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That's one way to say it. I mean, Sniper Elite's a series, right, where obviously it's all about sniping, but it's a lot of slow-mo, like, look at the bullet going through the path that you shot this person. Wow. Doesn't it affect their organs?
And you like, watch it in slow motion play out.
And so when they give you, what wasn't it? Oh. Why does it always sound like somebody just threw 14 buckets of ocean water off the tallest
It's just like somebody broke the world's largest egg.
But now, wasn't this Hitler thing like free DLC?
Yeah, I heard. I had heard the reasoning behind it, or one of the theories of why it is. But yeah, it is like pre-order DLC or free DLC. Buy it, and I think it's because to sell the game in Germany, they cannot have that scene. So
yeah,
they sell it separate of that, and then they just don't give you the DLC in Germany.
Oh. Games cannot reference. They cannot like outright reference Nazis in Germany, I believe.
Yeah.
So games like you know, your Call of Duties and your Medal of Honors and stuff, they would never outright say that you were fighting Nazis, but anybody playing in Germany was like, I'm just killing people who look and sound like me. This is odd.
Yeah, or they'd just say, these guys are robots. Like, even if there's not Nazis in, like, violence in general, like, gun violence in games, like, Germany is not a fan of. Yeah. Like,
they use the Batman animated series excuse of robots.
Got to do a lot of research on banned games in Germany for my banned games article, and there's a lot. There's almost as many as in Australia.
Yeah. I think Australia is also really, in like, afraid of. They're super afraid of violence. But, yeah, so this one, pretty much you can shoot anybody in the balls in Sniper Elite, like, but it's just worth it the same as doing it to Hitler.
You can actually, this is great, I saw this in various gameplay videos, you can still get a testicle shot, which is, it'll pop up on the screen, testicle shot, and then, like, you know, your bonuses. You can actually get that from behind somebody.
Huh.
Oh.
You can rupture through their butt and burst in, through the
this is a difficult thing to just talk about.
Yeah, a little bit.
What are you talking about? I don't think it's a problem.
You know what Hitler said after that happened?
My family jewels, my lineage destroyed.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
So let's just move on then from all this ball talk, and we'll take a quick break. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to have some current events and one single review. Oh, and I might also talk about just a couple things I played at Comic-Con. We'll be right back.
He kicked him in a penis.
And we're back! Hey, the second segment.
All right.
Hello. Why say hello again? Like, they didn't go anywhere. Like they're still here from 30 seconds.
Someone might have scrolled ahead and just... Like, top sevens. I tune in for current events.
How dare you not greet me, Henry? That's what they think.
So that's why I'm greeting him now. It's true. Okay, so the current events this week.
I'll remind everybody that we're still seeking the community submitted bumpers.
Okay. Sorry, just making some quick adjustments. But yeah, so the big news this week, I would say, is what happened with Crytek.
Oh, yes.
You guys want to talk about that? But yeah, the short version is that there have been a lot of stories of Crytek having problems, especially with its UK branch, the ones working on Homefront. Homefront, whatever.
Homefront the Revolution.
Okay.
Well, that's what it was.
You say so.
I think the third entry is going to be Homefront, whatever.
they'll just stop caring. But yeah, the Homefront. So yeah, Crytek UK, they ended up like laying off a lot of people there and in Crytek's US branches, that the people who were formerly Vigil Games. And they sold the Homefront brand to Deep Silver.
Yep. That's so random.
And then Deep Silver will now be like they're making their own dev team to finish the game.
Yeah, which is really weird.
I thought didn't they bring over the developers from Crytek?
Yeah, they brought a lot of the
they hired some of them. Yeah, which they
created a new studio.
Right.
Yeah, Damburst, I believe it's called.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, the Crytek news is unfortunate because Crytek has been like a major developer like for a long time. They make the CryEngine is used by a ton of people and. Mm-hmm. And also, like, the Crysis games that were all high watermarks of graphical fidelity, even if they, like, were sometimes not as good as they could have been. Like, mm-hmm. they always looked gorgeous.
Yeah.
And they're working on, like, a next-gen CryEngine, or they're, like, done with it. Or I forget. Now, Rise was just, like, on 3, CryEngine 3 or whatever, I think.
Aren't they on a 4?
I don't know.
I thought. Now? Whatever they were on, Rise is on the latest one, hence the Y in Rise.
I know Sonic.
That makes sense.
I hate that name. I know Sonic Boom is on CryEngine 3. But
oh, boy.
Yep. That's you another reason to get excited.
You can look.
Oh, good for you.
But it is unfortunate to hear that, especially like the Vigil news for me is a real bummer because, Vigil was a great team that made really, really good games that, like, just they were in a bad spot. Like, just they weren't going to outlive THQ, so they shut down.
You know what really bums me out? I really feel like Darksiders 3 would have been the one that that finally made them be like, yeah, now we're totally fine. Like, even if THQ dies.
Mm-hmm. I would have loved to have played as Strife and Fury.
Yeah, it would have been really cool.
And the Darksiders 3 was just so poorly... 2 was so poorly timed. Like, they were able to sell Saints Row 4 because they were close enough to being done with it. They're like, yeah, this will be a game you could ship next year. But they had just shipped Darksiders 2 before THQ shut down. So the next game was so far away that nobody wanted to invest that.
Yeah, because that would have been investing right from the start.
Yeah.
So.
But good on
the
Deep
Nordic
Silver,
game
though.
Owns it, but.
Good on Deep Silver for being a studio, though, that now can just kind of say, hey, we'll do it over here.
Yeah,
and they kind of pick up everybody's scraps.
It is very strange that Deep Silver, I used to consider like 505 and just one of those low, like, C-list, D-list kind of mm-hmm. publishers that just publish stuff that you'd go like, oh, that's out this week too? Oh, it's Deep Silver. Okay, ignore it. Like,
no.
but I think it started with Dead Island. Like, all thanks to this, all, like, where the situation we're in now all starts with that Dead Island trailer. Like, without that Dead Island trailer, Dead Island itself, just on its own merits, would not have sold, I don't
think. Yeah, I don't think so either.
So from there, then they had enough money to make the next game and then buy up Saints Row and all the other THQ leftovers.
This is technically, Dead Island 2 is technically the fourth Dead Island game.
Is it?
Yeah, there
Riptide.
Was.
There's,
well,
one,
there's Dead Island. There's Riptide.
And
there's
Escape
Endemic.
From Dead Island too.
And then Escape. So I guess it's technically the fifth.
Wow,
a lot of Dead Island. But I think Crytek. You think back to them last year, like they were spending a lot of money. Like that's also why this is a big surprise to me. They published Rise, and they published Crysis 3 not long before that. Then they bought Homefront. They were the ones who bought the Homefront license when
from THQ.
From the picked off. The bones of THQ.
They also
and they bought Vigil.
Yeah, they bought Vigil and turned them into a crisis, or not a crisis team, but a Crytek branch in the U.S.
And now the only stuff they have planned is just free to play.
Well, they were so they had the Vigil guys working on Hunted, Horrors from the Gilded Age.
Right.
I forget what exactly.
It looked really cool.
Yeah, a lot of people. I mean, even as recently as E3, we saw it, and everybody was kind of in agreement. Like, wow, this looks really, really good.
Yeah.
And so now the development of that is now being handed off to Crytek's Frankfurt branch.
Okay.
And the U.S. branch is just gone, right?
Like, yeah.
Wow.
So Vigil is not even in existence, even as a branch of Crytek anymore, which is really depressing.
It sounded like Crytek U.S. was just now tech support for CryEngine licensors.
Yeah, so one of the things that Lucas wrote was, you know, Crytek is now going the way of of Epic and, I mean, to an extent, Valve as well, whereas they kind of transition from, let's make these really, you know, these high-cost games to now let's actually scale back, focus on free-to-play and getting money from licensing our engine to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's definitely where Crytek's headed. And it sucks, but maybe it'll work out for them. I don't know. They have Warface.
Which is
their free-to-play shooter.
Their transition has been going a lot rougher than Epic's was.
Epic doesn't even have really a free-to-play game. Does it right now?
No.
I mean, Fortnite's
coming. Unreal 4, the game, Unreal Tournament 4, seems like it will be free-to-play-ish.
Yeah. It was supposed to be the Infinity Blade free-to-play thing. That just got scrapped. Yeah,
was that was a similar situation there where they bought the Kingdoms of Amalur developers and then months later they're like, oh, we don't want you.
Yep,
you're laid off again. Laid off.
And so, I mean, I guess it makes sense in the like a free game. There's no barrier to entry, so even if it looks balls, people might try it out, and maybe they get addicted to it because it doesn't cost them anything to play it.
Yeah,
and then you can make some money off of them, but. The licensing stuff obviously is obviously a much safer bet because that's just income that you know you're going to get because people like your engine. And I mean, that's pretty much what Epic is just living off of. Because they've made so much money from Unreal as an engine.
It's a scary future. Scary future.
But we'll see how Crytek ends up. Actually, I've never heard anybody talking about Warface, so I don't know that
put
that's
on your
doing
war
particularly
face.
Well. We'll see. Maybe Hunted will be. Yeah. We'll turn things around a little bit.
That's
I know a
like
lot of people are really,
evolved,
really
but with mythological creatures.
I didn't play it myself, so I have to look into it a little bit more. But
I can't remember too much about it, but I do remember being pretty interested in it when it showed up at
E3. Yeah, yeah.
So. All right. Let's now move on to the Last of Us movie news real quick. Did you guys hear this out of Comic-Con?
Yeah, I actually think we talked about this last week, actually.
No. Never mind.
About Arya Stark, potentially. The actress who plays Arya Stark.
Yeah, we did mention that.
I am interested that Neil Druckmann is like, they are talking like he will have a lot of creative power in it. And
I hope so.
Because it better be R-rated. Like they never gets to be like those films. Video game films have to be PG-13 so you can have the widest audience to see it.
But it cannot be what it needs to be at that rating. You know,
I don't think that they're going to be afraid to push for that.
Yeah. I think in this case, I know with BioShock, the proposed BioShock movie that ended up not happening because every studio they optioned it to was like, well, there's going to be a lot of animation, so let's make sure to make it a PG-13 movie. And Ken Levine's like, no. thank goodness. So.
Well, special effects are really expensive. Like,
it's true.
You can see it from the business side of it, too. Well,
they might not have that much trouble with the Last of Us.
So then never mind with the Last of Us news. And then there's also the PlayStation beta.
Yeah.
PlayStation Now beta.
Not the PlayStation.
And all of its price issues.
Oh, and also, I mean, we can talk about this and EA Access together.
Yeah, those two together.
That happened this week as well.
That's true.
They're similar services.
Yeah, so EA Access really surprised me that it's like $5 a month, and you start with access to like four different games, including Battlefield 4.
Yeah, you know, I was honestly a little bit surprised at how much this riled people up and like, this is fucking stupid. Because I didn't really feel that way at all. Like, if I didn't have any of those games and I was interested in even just one of them, paying $5 for a month access is, like, amazing.
I definitely think it's a cool idea, but, like, I do subscribe to the slippery slope theory. Like, I definitely think it's a possibility that for somebody who doesn't want another subscription or, like, a bunch of new subscriptions, I think it could be dangerous to have, like, all these other publishers jumping on board.
Yeah, but I don't think enough of them could to a point where we're like, fuck, we have 40 different subscriptions. Because the only ones that could feasibly do this, maybe Ubisoft, Nintendo could.
Activision.
Activision, and I think that's like it.
Yeah, and the flip side, too, is that fortunately, I guess, you know, Microsoft has these things in the works for a long period of time. And I imagine this was because it is only on for them and not on PlayStation.
Well, that's because Sony
Sony rejected it.
Yeah,
but I imagine
kind of a dickish way, like they in like their statement on it was just like, yeah, they offered it to us. We didn't like it.
Yeah.
Well, which they said it in such a way where it was like, we don't see what kind of value this would add to anybody. And yet here they are with PlayStation Now. Would you like to rent Darksiders 2 for $40 to play it for 3 months when you could just buy it for $18?
I started laughing when it we were going through the list of games and how much they cost to rent. It's like, wow, I could buy it right now for less than it would cost to rent it for 10 days.
To my point real quick with EA Access before we move on to PS Now is just that it is a good thing now that Microsoft has removed the Xbox Gold requirement for a lot of these services because that on top of Gold, I think then people would have an issue.
Yeah.
But you do still need Gold. You need Gold.
Like realistically.
Here's my thing with EA Access though. Like, okay, if you don't like it, obviously, you don't have to.
Yeah, then don't buy it.
And there is, I guess, perhaps this concern, like, what if EA gets to a point where they're like, nope, the only way you can play certain parts of our games or these certain games is if you subscribe to this thing. Then, you know, I agree, like, yeah, that's not
the
path we want to see this take.
And they've already done away with the online pass for the shit that they took because of that. And, you know, like you're saying, potentially holding back parts of the game would run those same lines.
Yeah, but also look at it this way, too. Like, okay, say EA Access is, you know, what it is now. You have your initial four games, and you also get this 10% discount toward new game purchases and DLC and all that kind of stuff. Like, if you are somebody who plays any sports games or you do, like, anything BioWare makes, you're really into anything DICE makes or whatever, you know, whatever Visceral that it's not. Is it still called Visceral?
Yeah, it's still Visceral.
Whatever they make past Hardline, like if you are into all these different developers, like it could be a really sweet deal so long as the games that are in its vault, right? The ones that you get just access to.
But they've said that this is going to be like a growing vault.
Yeah.
It's not going to be here's what's available now and we will take this back soon.
Yeah. And I also understand that this is a little bit related. I also understand there's a lot of concern about ownership now. Like, well, we don't own those games anymore. What we do have is we're paying for a license.
Many an editorial has gone up about that sort of thing the past couple days.
I'm going to say something now that I think a lot of people will have a really big problem with. And that is, I honestly don't care. Like, as long as I can play the games I want to play when I want to play them, I don't give. I don't care if I have the physical copy on my shelf or not. There are certain games, I think, for me personally, I buy copies of that I want on my shelf because... And I thought Patrick Klepek had a really cool piece about it. Like, those things on my shelf are special to me. That's why they are there. Yeah. I have limited space, so I don't just go buy everything.
As somebody who does feel... I do love physical media, and I prefer for physical things to stay around... I completely I'm okay with the fact that the only argument for that is I like to have it on my shelf and look at it.
Yeah.
It's really the only argument.
No.
And that's why it comes down to, you know, a personal thing of like, do you like having this nice little collection?
Yeah. I guess the thing for me is I know that I personally, and I'm not saying everybody should adopt my opinion, of course, but what I'm saying is for me personally, I know that even if I physically buy something, there's a very good chance I'm only ever going to play it once, and I will literally never touch it again. And so for me, having this option to, say, pay $5 a month or $30 a year, because that's what the annual price of EA Access is.
Which in of itself is a really good bargain.
Yeah, knowing that I can have some of these older games available for me to play whenever I want is pretty damn sweet. Plus, and it's a smart move on their part in to give this discount offer. Like, now you will get 10% discount on new game purchases because if you do it through them, they don't have to worry about you going to GameStop and getting, you know, and losing out on
it. Yeah, it is a really great value proposition. Like I said, I'm just afraid of dogpiling.
I prefer the carrot to the stick in this case. That they're just like, let's make it better for you to buy stuff directly from us and not use GameStop instead of going like, we'll shut down all your used games so you can't.
Exactly.
Where I want this to lead... is more competition and better deals for all gamers. What I don't want it to do is, as Tony mentioned, where the future of games is, which publisher would you like to subscribe to? You know, I want to be able to have access to what I want to have. I want to be able to play the games I want to play.
I think the strongest argument, I think you actually just made it, I can see actually a lot of good competition coming out of this as different publishers try to compete for your dollar because you're not going to get all this.
So imagine that Ubisoft says, okay, Well, that seems like a pretty sweet deal. What if we did? Let's match it. Let's
what
at least
we
match their price.
What if you play a thing and not some menu you have to get through every time you want to play one of our games?
And so what if Ubisoft says, "All right, well, you can also subscribe to us and get access to all these Assassin's Creed games and whatever else Ubisoft makes."
Far Cry?
Like all these things like
Just Dance?
Rayman.
Like so imagine getting access to like up. So here you go, $5. Assassin's Creed 4, Rayman Legends, Far Cry 3, and Blood Dragon. Blah, blah, blah. $5 for that 1 month to play all those games? Are you kidding me? Like, even on the best Steam, or like the best Uplay deals,
yeah.
I guess, since they don't do Steam summer sale deals, like, even in the best case scenario, you would never get those games for that price.
My God, consoles could actually begin to compete with the Steam summer sales!
In a sense, yeah.
I think, the competition is good. Like, you've seen that with Xbox Live was as good as it was for so many years. Like, you were paying more for stability than anything else. And then when Sony finally got their stuff together and then did PlayStation Now PlayStation Plus with all those free games, like, it just became better than Live and than Gold. And so Microsoft finally had to start doing games with gold themselves. Like, all right, we'll give you free games too. Like, they had to be better to consumers because Sony made them.
And think about the gaming landscape now. Mm-hmm. If you were, say, a young teenager who maybe you get an allowance or something, but you really don't have access to buying new games, that's not an option for you. But if you can at least get a monthly subscription to Xbox Live or Gold or PlayStation Plus, like, it doesn't matter because now you get X amount of games for free every single month.
And
anyways,
that creates, like, generationally, that way that, you know, those kids are going to see how gaming works. You know, like,
what do
like
you mean?
I mean, they'll be used
it'll
to
be their expectation
they'll be used to these things.
Yeah. Games, yeah.
It's what they're used
go
to.
Can't go back.
So, and I also understand, you know, like we said, like, sure, maybe this could lead to some slippery slopes types of situations that piss a lot of people off. But, I mean, just look at the reaction people had when Microsoft said, here's what we're going to do, and they backed off, right? Like, I think that same sort of result would happen because the second EA or Ubisoft or Activision or anybody has a system like this and it's shit and it's not a good value, like, it's going to be up everywhere. Everybody's going to talk about it, and then you're just like, nope.
Mm-hmm. Well, that happened with another service.
Yes, it did.
What?
PlayStation Now. People are bitching about that.
Well, yeah. I mean, because
it is a beta. So it is a beta, and these are beta pricing that is the problem right now. And that is being set by publishers, not by Sony.
And Sony has also said, like, these are not the permanent prices in the end. Like, we're still very much figuring this out. I agree that for the most part, they're way too high.
It needs to be figured out because, we have a commentary up now.
Mm-hmm.
That is, like, we have basically, within the body of that, listed a couple of, you know, kind of the most insane examples of this.
Yeah.
Like how, and there are some good values in there. You can rent Alone in the Dark for 90 days for $5 or buy it for, like, 40.
But that is a game that, like, is nothing to anyone.
Right,
like,
but still, like, just, you know, numbers-wise, that's a good deal.
It's a good deal.
But there's stuff like Darksiders, which is $25 for 90 days, or I think it was 18, somewhere around $18 to just buy it.
On Amazon. But there's also this factor of, like, instant access, too, right? Where
instant access and streaming on your PS4, too.
So you don't even have to download
true.
It. You just hit the rent button, and you're playing
it
right
now.
It
is instant access, but you only have it for as long as you've paid for.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing that the publishers in this case will have to remember with this is that their worst nightmare is going to be Amazon Marketplace. They need to be able to compete with Amazon Marketplace. Even if they're instant, if Amazon's a fraction of the price, Amazon's going to win.
Well,
so
what Amazon is able to do, because Amazon for the most part is a middleman to a lot of these, like when you go on Amazon, there are things you can buy from Amazon or you can buy from other distributors. But Amazon, like, you know, brings everything together and, you know, offers you various prices on things and you look for a good deal. Like, Sony has to do the same thing here. They, as the middleman, they have to make sure this stuff all looks good.
Well, and they're talking too, like, because a lot of the people are saying, well, one obvious solution would be just charge a flat subscription fee. So
right.
If I pay $15 a month, I can rent any of these games I want. Well, I
basically
think
Gamefly.
Maybe it's not going to be quite that easy because this is a very different thing than renting a already purchased physical thing from somebody
else.
This
is kind of a different beast than any other service that's out there right now.
It takes a lot of cooperation. This is like the Wild West, too. Like,
this is new.
So, it'll take probably years to really settle down and become something that pleases everybody.
Services like this are going to be this generation's, like, Xbox Live. This is when we have to figure this stuff out.
Yeah.
I think you could make a very strong argument for anyone at Sony who's listening for maybe doing like, okay, you get this for one day for free. See if you like it. And then after that, we start charging you incrementally. And I think they can probably grab a lot of people if they did something
like
that.
They have been doing that on PlayStation Plus to a degree of like, here's 1 hour of the game. You can play for 1 hour on PlayStation Plus, and then if you want to buy it, then you got to buy it then. But you get the hour.
Is that from them, though, or is that like a... developer.
Well, I think the publishers maybe are pushing for it, but it's through Sony. Like, it's kind of a Sony exclusive thing.
Because when I think of that, the first thing I actually think of, and now I'm forgetting that it was the 38 Studios game.
Kingdoms of Amalur.
Yeah. When that demo released, that was a play this for an hour and a half or whatever, and it's just here's the game.
Mm. Well, I mean, one other thing to keep in mind, too, is games are all very different, and so that doesn't always work for.
Right, of course.
All of them. Just because it's like, you can say, here's an hour for free, and then you finish the game in the hour.
An hour of an RPG is very different from an hour of a match three puzzle game.
They could definitely look at, like, what's the average span of this game? It's like, we will give you 1/10 of this game's playtime or something smaller.
Yeah. But I'll be curious to see how it works out. I know for now, I totally agree. It's too expensive for the most part, but... You know, keep in mind those prices, I think, will be changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very complex problem.
It'll be interesting to see how it goes and hopefully get to see those prices drop, or I'll just keep laughing.
They're going
to
change one way or the other.
Okay, so real quick, just previews. I don't think we have any new previews from this week that we can even talk about.
Super Smash Flash is really cool, guys.
Check out that. But yeah.
It's been around since 2007.
I did have a good time at Comic-Con. I saw a few games there. There was the Assassin's Creed panel where they showed off the female Templar, Assassin.
Yeah,
Templar. And then also there was the big Mass Effect, the future of Mass Effect panel. Panel where they showed off the Makos. The Makos back, guys. I hope you're excited.
I'm sure this time it'll be a billion times better, though.
That's basically what they said. Yeah, it's going to be better. And I played Hyrule Warriors, new version of Hyrule Warriors. It was good. It might be the best Warriors game I played before, but when I was playing this demo of it, it was a full mission. Like, after 20 minutes, I was like, it's kind of going a while, this mission. Do I really got to close two more gates? Like,
so the Zelda skin kind of might not be enough to make up for the Warriors gameplay?
I mean, it is Warriors. Like, it's true to Warriors. Like, that is what the Musou games are. But they are pulling off, like, walking from one end of the battlefield and back again to unlock a gate so then you can fight Lubu. And see everybody go like, Lubu. Oh,
no. Do they have a Lubu equivalent for this?
I would think Ganon is probably Lubu. I haven't seen the Lubu yet, but
I know when Lorenzo and I played it, we got to fight King Dodongo. So that was
okay.
Yeah, that is a big monster. There are big monster battles.
Would like to fight Bongo Bongo.
I bet he's in there.
You guys are just making like. So you're saying onomatopoeias. That's all.
Bongo Bongo is literally a giant, like, monkey beast that plays bongos.
Jeez.
It wasn't a new version of it, but I played a lot of Smash Brothers for Wii U. Like, it should have just been one round, and then we're just like, let's just keep going. Like, we play it for an hour. Like, over an hour.
How are you feeling about it? Was it fun?
Yeah, it was fun. I mean... I didn't see much new to it, but
How many characters were available?
It was the same as the E3 demo that you probably played, Ashley, as well. Like, it was the 20 or so. Like,
okay.
None of the most recent people. Like, Greninja was the most recently announced person on it. But
like kind of the block of 20 that we knew about first.
But it was a lot of fun. It was great. Like, but
I enjoyed it when I played it. It was pretty. I got attacked by like a group of chickens. I like smacked one chicken that was just standing around, and then I just got swarmed by them. I'm like, oh, that's charming.
They have the cuckoo in there.
And then for reviews, there was really, boy, July was a lame month.
Wasteland.
Drought.
Yeah, it's pretty sparse.
The best stuff that came out was a remaster and the conclusionary episode of an episodic game.
Yeah. I mean, that was a good conclusionary episode.
And they're both good in their own rights, but it's funny that, like, just by default, that's the best stuff.
So The Last of Us remaster was really good?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Sony says that only about half of the PS4 owners had a PS3. So that means if you haven't played The Last of Us on PS3, do play this. It is a very amazing game. You can read our review on the site about the actual core game itself, but the remaster version has a lot of really cool things in it, and I definitely think it was worth. It's like $50, I think.
And they didn't screw it up. It's still good. And if you didn't play the Left Behind DLC, it's available from the start on that. Mm-hmm. It's also worth playing there.
If you did play the first as well, you can. I don't know if this deal's still going on, but you could trade it in at GameStop, I believe, and then remastered will only run you $25.
Yeah, I think that is what they're offering.
I don't know how long that deal goes.
I might do that.
You know, The Last of Us, a really, really incredible post-apocalyptic story.
Our game of the year last year.
Yep, was our game of the year last year. And some new things. Obviously, it's a much prettier version, which is surprising considering it looked amazing on the PS3 in the first place, more so than any other PS3 game.
It was the most beautiful game of the generation.
And I would say right now, as much out of everything I've seen, it is the prettiest game on the PS4. There are a couple of people in the comments of the remastered review being like, no, there's no way it looks better than Infamous. So I'm like, yeah, it looks better than Infamous. Even, shit, I don't know. Like, I thought...
I'd say Killzone looked better than Infamous.
Yeah, I mean, Infamous looks amazing. Don't get me wrong, but I think Last of Us Remastered definitely beats it out. One thing that was made the game noticeably different in terms of how it felt to play was the switch to 60 frames a second. Mm. Because...
What did it run on?
30.
Okay.
And so on the PS3, combat often felt like really like kind of clunky a little bit. Not clunky in that it was unfun, but it felt, I don't know, a little heavier, like really weighty and really slow.
Personally, it was my least favorite part of the game, was any time I had to actually fight.
And on the PS4, it just feels so much better because it's way smoother. And so that made a really noticeable difference, I thought. And it also was really cool that there's the ability, you can lock the frame rate at 30. On the PS4 to have better looking like shadows in the game. So it's almost like this really cool,
it's like trading off specs.
It's a slider, yeah.
It's almost really cool, like callback to like, you know, what I love about PC gaming, being able to tweak all those little options. But I mean, this is one option you can tweak, but it is really cool. Personally, having played it both at 30 and 60 frames a second, I would say, screw those shadows, because the 60 frames is really, really great. What else? It comes with all the DLC, so that's a couple map packs, the Left Behind single-player DLC, which is sort of like a prequel to Ellie's story before she meets Joel.
Yeah, it works good as an epilogue.
It's better as an epilogue.
Yeah, you're not going to want to play it before you play the main game.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
And also, some other things I thought were really cool. There's some developer commentary for some of the game's cinematics. So Neil Druckmann, that's how you pronounce his name,
I think
right?
It is. Yes.
Oh, God. The Troy Baker, and then the voice actress who played Ellie, who's
Ashley something. No, that's her name.
Oh, yeah. Okay. How am I supposed to know?
Sorry.
But the three of them provide commentary for some of the in-game cutscenes, which is a really neat way to get a little bit more context about what was going through their minds and what they were really trying to pull off.
Here's why Pittsburgh is way too long of a chapter.
They did a stream of Last of Us Live one night only, where it was just them acting out select scenes.
That was pretty cool. I believe it's been archived as well.
Yeah, archived by Sony. It's very strange. It was strange to me to see. They're all costumed as their characters, too, but they don't look like them.
But
so
everything is there but the faces.
It's like Troy Baker is a handsome gentleman, not a scruffy whatever dude, how many year old.
Well, Joel is Josh Brolin. Like, I mean, who he is. Like, so.
I mean, Joel is not an ugly man, but he's not Troy Baker.
Well, no, it's Troy. Troy has very soft features compared to Joel.
Then a couple other last...
I got to meet him at Comic-Con.
Oh, wow. We saw your picture, Henry. You're like, ooh.
Good for you.
The most appropriate use of that.
Yeah. And then another couple cool things, like the Last of Us documentary that they put out for free a while ago, like that is now part of the game and you can watch it right from the menu.
Okay.
And then
the photo mode looked really cool.
The photo mode, it was really neat. So any part of the gameplay where you're that's not a cutscene, you can pause it. It's very much like Second Son's photo mode. You can pause it and you can take a screenshot without any elements of the HUD on the screen. You can move the camera around, pan it however you want. You can add filters and things. Mm-hmm. So you can take some really amazing looking screens.
NeoGAF has a contest running, like an actual photo contest running right
now.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
So you know what's funny is like this game looks so good that I at one point my girlfriend was walking into the room and I had paused it. Or no, a cutscene was kind of running where it was just showing some of like the cityscape stuff, and some of the forests. Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Oh, what movie are you watching?" I'm like, "It's not a movie; it's a video game." And she's like, "What?
You?"
It's like that Uncharted commercial.
I hated that commercial. That was such.
My girlfriend thinks I'm watching a movie.
Should Aww. I tell her?
Oh, I didn't even know that was a commercial.
Oh, yeah. Look at that commercial.
This dude walking in with, like, a DualShock and a thing of popcorn.
That's really depressing. I didn't mean to imply that my girlfriend's a dummy or anything like that. She's really smart.
Have you seen those creepy, like, DirecTV commercials with the puppet, with, like, the marionette
lady?
Oh,
yeah.
Like, those are so creepy.
So I do still think I'm pretty even wires.
The dude's married to a puppet.
Yeah,
and his son is a puppet, and you're like, what?
Like, just thinking about what went into that.
It's a weird, it's already like the nagging wife is such like a cliche in commercials. But to then make them a creepy, sexy marionette.
Yeah, she tries to seduce him in one of the commercials, and it's like, oh, this is so uncomfortable.
Yeah, and then the son gets, like, his strings get, like, caught in the ceiling fan.
That was pretty funny.
Dad, cut me down!
Anyways, Last of Us Remastered, really great. If you haven't played it the first time around, it's definitely worth it.
5 out of 5.
What was it?
I mean, yeah, I guess we gave the original 5 out of 5. It is a better version of that.
5.1 out of 5.
You have officially sold me on this. I wasn't sure. I'm like, I've got the PS3 version. Why do I need the PS4 version? Yeah. I'm getting it now.
That's
Thank
right.
Because
did you start playing it?
I have played a little bit.
Yeah, so it's probably just worth the upgrade.
Yeah, it kind of. So Naughty Dog, thank Ryan. He just sold you another copy. He just got another copy sold for you.
All right, so that's that for this segment. We're going to take a quick break and then go to the community segment. See you in a second. And we're back for the community segment. Hello.
Community segment on Radio Radar. We read your stuff if it's good enough.
I love that song.
It's really growing on me.
Yep.
So last week's question of the week, as you guys asked it, like, what's a dream you remember?
What is one of the weirdest dreams you've ever had?
You weren't here, Hank, so
video
you should
games or otherwise.
Answer this.
Jeez, that's really tough. Let me think about that while I read other people's answers here. I don't think if I can think of one. Tim Groover said, I wake up in a disturbed frenzy. I look towards my window, expecting something nightmarishly hideous to jump through it. Nothing happens. I lay down again. I'm tapped on the shoulder by Darth Maul, who then insists on singing, creepily going, me, 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 and stabbing me through the chest with his lightsaber. This same nightmare followed me for a good 2 or 3 years after I saw The Phantom Menace. I am not making this up.
You're, like, haunted by a demon that looks like Darth Maul.
I love that the thing he sings is me, 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 me.
That's how the great mighty Pooh gets ready for battle. He sings the same thing.
All right. Pork Fried Rice 7 says, I just had a dream last night that Danny Tamborelli, of all that, of Nickelodeon fame, theme probably isn't the right word, stole my car. In the dream, nobody believed me, and honestly, I don't blame them for a second.
I think Danny Tamborelli is just in a state where he would do that.
Oh, I think he saved up some money.
He plays bass in a band.
He does.
All right. Jar says, I had a reoccurring dream when I was younger. I'd be standing on a rickety dock with C-3PO, R2-D2, and Chewbacca. Okay. 3PO had an action figure of himself and would always accidentally drop it into the water. I'd courteously reach down to grab it before it sank, and every time I tried, a shark would bite off my hand and I'd wake up. There's also this other dream about Howie Mandel, a butterfly knife, and a river of severed heads, but that's a story for another day.
Wow.
I think that's a story for today. I want to hear
about I just love the idea of C-3PO, like, carrying an action,
like,
action
it's
figure.
It's my action figure. Whoops. Splash.
Oh, my.
He would.
Ew, oh, you nasty little
I dropped
robot.
Myself into the water.
I hope you rust.
R. Carrasco 121 says, in my dream, my dog would come running into my room, jump on my bed, vomit black tar all over the sheets, and her face would melt off.
Oh, my God.
Now I don't let her on my bed, just in case this happens. Don't judge me.
Logical reaction.
There were some other good ones that we're not reading this week that just were like, they were just too long, guys. I'm sorry. I can't read. I cannot read, like,
these guys dream in novels.
Dreams. Yeah. I appreciate you sharing with us, and please continue to do so, but we cannot read something that long on the air. The last one is Cinesaur. My weirdest dream, I can only remember it lasting for a very brief amount of time, but it haunts me to this day. I was looking down at my arm and noticed some loose skin, so I grabbed it and started to pull it back. Underneath my skin, I am bread. I wake up terrified.
So the second I saw this one, I'm like, that's the winner. Yes. Yeah.
But so I had a similar dream, actually, where I looked at my arm and it resembled a paper bag, like a lunch, you know, that you put like your lunch in. And I pulled that back and I was made of the candy Whoppers.
Oh. Yeah. I had a creepy dream once. I think I've actually told this on this podcast before because I remember Tom was making fun of me for it in like very like,
oh,
cutting
good
ways.
For you.
Kind of like that. Just where a lot of them just involve being like having a responsibility and like failing at it. And it was this is when I was like 21 or 20, like. In the dream, this woman had a baby, but the baby was small enough to fit in a teacup. And the baby was, like, sitting in the teacup. And she says, like, okay, be careful with this. Like, I need you just watch my baby for a second. And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I take the teacup. And then I just set it down. I don't realize I set it down on, like, a burner. And, like,
oh, no!
And it boils the baby, and then she comes back and just, like, shuts
horrible.
Me, like, you killed my baby.
Oh, my God, that's terrible.
So Ann Randy, a
teacup baby?
Is there a thing about dreaming about really tiny babies then? Because I've had similar dreams where it's been like, this is your son, and he's the size of, like, a shrimp, and then one day I accidentally step on him.
I don't know. If somebody is an armchair psychiatrist that wants to deconstruct this in the comments, please do.
What tiny babies mean?
All right, so this, spespeaking of The Last of Us movie, for this week's question of the week, the question is...
Do we have a winner from the
Oh, yeah, sorry,
the
winner. Thank you for reminding me. You know, I feel like Cinesaur has won some recently, but I think, like, his bread one is too good to not do it. So
plus, Ashley just, you know, called it the winner a second ago.
Yeah, I mean...
I didn't mean, like, on behalf of all of us. It's my personal
right,
winner,
But I think that was the most entertaining.
So Cinesaur, you know the deal. Shoot an email to radioradar@gamesradar.com. See, I remembered it this time.
Good job.
And we will find something to give you, perhaps. Likely. Yeah, sure. All right, so this week's question of the week.
Well, you'll get something.
This week's question
be
of the
prepared.
Week is having to do with movies. Like, it seems like there will actually be some movies. Like, they also showed off the logo of the Warcraft film at Comic-Con as well. Simply called Warcraft, that's all. And that it seems like an Assassin's Creed movie starring, what's his, God,
Jake
Michael
Gyllenhaal.
Fassbender.
Oh,
yeah. Michael Fassbender is going to actually happen. Plus a Last of Us movie and a Metal Gear movie, which I bet will never, ever happen. So, you know, with all these movies happening, like, there have only been bad video game movies. But do you guys have any that you actually, like, liked? Or, like, what was your favorite video game movie? And I will go first. And, you know what? I feel like, just to not be redundant, I have ones I like more, but I'm going to say... The Prince of Persia film actually had good moments. Like, you could take out 10 minutes of it that is just like the Prince of Persia games, and it's really fun. Like, it's cool. I would have cast somebody who was actually of, like, Persian or Arab descent in the main role instead of Jake Gyllenhaal, and then just making him, like, extra tan. I think that would have made it a more legitimate film. Also, like, his love interest could have also been, like, someone of that ethnicity.
Of a Persian persuasion.
Yeah, Persian persuasion. Like,
a persuasion.
Mm-hmm. it would have been better. But there are cool moments of it, like when he actually uses the time-rewinding powers a couple times. It's pretty interesting. And also, the other good thing I like about it was, because that movie existed, that was the reason there was the last Prince of Persia game was made, Forgotten Sands, which was really short, but really good. Like, a really, really good Prince of Persia game. That takes place between the Sands of Time and what was the name of that garbage one that was after Sands of Time?
Two Swords?
No.
Or something.
Whatever.
Was this the one with the lady who rewound time and pulled you out of pits?
No. That was simply Prince of Persia 2008. But anyway, yeah. I'm going to go with Prince of Persia.
I actually didn't mind the first couple Resident Evil movies. I had fun with them. I actually kind of like the one with Nemesis, I think, the most out of the group. I stopped watching after that or the one after it. I don't remember.
You said first couple, and it's still, like, odd to me that there are many of those films.
I know.
There will be sixth one. They're crazy. Working on a sixth one.
There are so many Resident Evil films that when I told my dad, oh, yeah, I'm thinking of playing this Resident Evil game, he's like, there are Resident Evil games?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
you know, I, for as much as I wanted the very first one to basically just be Resident Evil 2, the movie, or even Resident Evil 1, the movie, which it partially was.
Right. Sort of.
I thought it was cool. I liked seeing the liquor. I thought that was really sweet. And
yeah, they pulled out some cool thing. And what about the thing where with the lasers, the cutting lasers?
Yeah, it was cool. See, that reminds you of one of those Resident Evil traps you get in and be like, how are we going to escape?
Mm-hmm. I saw the fifth Resident Evil film, and it was not
Extinction?
Good. It was not good. Yeah, I think it was Extinction.
I haven't seen that one.
That one's the only good thing I'd say about Resident Evil Extinction was that they did have, like, so many characters from the games that I was like, wow, Chris Redfield's in this now too? Like, why are you bringing in all these characters when it, like, this fan service for fans who hate this?
Yeah.
It's very true. Video game movies, I object so strongly to pretty much all of them, but I did actually really enjoy the Silent Hill movie. It was kind of it was gratuitous in parts, like kind of salacious and kind of even over the top for Silent Hill. But I finished it feeling suitably horrified and grossed out, and it was just kind of this very unpleasant feel to it. So I was like, yeah.
They did Pyramid Head pretty well.
Yeah, they did. I was really freaking terrified of Pyramid Head and that, and how how the villain's fate and how they incorporate Alyssa Gillespie. I'm like, oh, damn. They did a really good job.
And the transformation into the hell world was good,
that
too.
Was really good.
I thought the one thing that was missing was that the main lady and the cop lady, I felt like they should have fallen in love by the end of it or something. Like, I felt there was something missing.
I kind of thought that's what was going to happen, but then the thing happened to the cop lady, and it was very sad.
That was a good movie.
Also, shockingly, like, Sean Bean didn't die in that. Like,
I was like,
he only dies in, like, half of his movies. There is an actual, like, graph out there.
He dies. Yeah, that was a cool ad I saw at Comic-Con, which was an ad for whatever his dumb new TV show is, but it had a hashtag on it called Don't Kill Sean Bean.
That's funny.
That'd be my winner.
Okay, so my answer takes just a brief bit of explanation. So there's a movie called Donkey Kong Country and the Crystal Coconuts.
Now, stop talking.
So there was a French-Canadian television series that ran for a year or two based on Donkey Kong Country.
I know that one!
Right. So the movie is one episode of that and a bunch of random scenes from other episodes that they literally just said, yeah, this is good enough for a movie. And yeah, I'm familiar with this because as a child, I rented this from Blockbuster roughly 10 times. And it's a musical. Huh. So here's... I pulled up one of the songs here just to put in your mind about how painful this is.
In the name of me, great, great, great grandpappy!
This is a pirate for context.
When I was a young
glad my father said to me, Ireland and Erin learned some pirate history. Oh, once a fearsome pirate ruled the seven seas. He was your great-great-great-grandpappy.
Like one of the...
One of the gear
dudes
people.
Rapping, yeah. Here, let me see.
One of
here.
K. Rool's forces.
Yeah. Like his I remember this show. It was like his head lackey.
Donkey Kong songs basically are Michael Jackson songs.
They're horrible. Here's a donkey.
You bet it has. I want some info.
That's Donkey Kong.
And he's dancing and like...
His dancing is terrible. The mouth
like
movements are
awful.
Like
8 frames a second.
That the crystal holds and all the magic power
I know.
That it
this,
brings.
This is too dumb.
You haven't even seen what it looks like.
Oh, I don't even want to.
Anyway, this is your favorite video game movie?
Simply for nostalgia reasons, because I did, like I said, rent it several times as a kid, and because I just can't believe that it exists. it's not – I don't enjoy it for the fact that it's a good movie because it's garbage, but it's just hilarious to watch on that level.
I see.
It seems like something Nintendo would never okay now. I'm surprised it even got to exist. And it was like out – it took a long time to come to America, I think, because like probably the American – Nintendo America was like, we don't want people to see this shit.
Like I think it's a level of like there are a lot of people out there who don't realize, well, wait a minute. There was a Donkey Kong Country TV series and a movie and it's a musical.
I remember some of those songs.
There's one of King K. Rool rapping, and the entire theme of the rap is like, hey, DK, you come over here. I'm going to drop Diddy off of this mountaintop. He raps an entire song based off that premise.
Well, it's easier to animate songs than to have them go to a new place or meet a new person. Like, that's very expensive in a CG animated show. All right, so that's it for this week's episode of number 99. Next week, oh boy, we'll be 100.
And I'll be out.
What?
Yeah, man.
Oh, God damn it. You will be out.
I'm gone. Ryan will be out. It's,
Well, we'll figure out something to do for 100 to make it special. Let's see. Oh, definitely subscribe to this on iTunes if you're not, and give it a new review, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And, you really missed out if you weren't following on Twitter during Comic-Con, because I tweeted a lot of interesting pictures.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes out on the Twitter feed that doesn't necessarily post on the site either, just here's a fun little thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So keep an eye on that.
Yeah. And so until next time, what?
Sorry, if I may, since stepping away, my last one, it's been really fun, so I'm sure you guys are going to do something really cool for the 100. Everybody's tuning into that, but, It's been fun doing stuff on here and on the website and stuff. I'll still be writing things,
Like I said, it was good. Yeah, it was really good having you here. You've been a real asset to the site during your internship. So those 2 months went by really fast.
Really quickly. But if people, like I said, I'll still have stuff on the website. If people want to like follow me on Twitter, it's at ChangunPope, ChainGunPope. Please don't ask me to explain the Twitter handle.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, until next time, Radio Radar out!